9 this morning. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter number 9. Most of the kids are out this morning, and they're in junior church. But listen, if you've got to go out, it's emergency, we understand. But if you don't have to go out, we ask you to sit still and listen to the remainder of the service. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles in Hebrews chapter number 9, say amen. Amen. We'll let you stand just for a second in reverence and honor to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 9. In verse number 24, we'll jump in. The Bible says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." I just want to pause and say thank God that God's there. I'm talking about over in the book of Exodus, God gave Moses a pattern, and he had a tabernacle in the wilderness. Are y'all with me? And it was a pattern. It was a type of what was going to be. But thank God that Jesus isn't just a pattern. And I'm glad that Jesus isn't just in a type, but I'm glad that Jesus is in the real place, amen. I'm telling you, Jesus, He'll get the job done, amen. That's what verse 24 says. It's saying He's not entered in the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth. In other words, He said He's not just messing around in that Old Testament temple and tabernacle, but He said He is into heaven itself. Amen, I'm glad of that. You ought to be glad of that. You ought to be glad that He rent the veil from top to bottom. He went into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God, watch this, for us. For us. You've got Jesus, and He's there appearing in the presence of God for you, on your behalf. Amen, that's good right there. That ain't what I'm preaching about, but that's just good while we read it. Verse 25, "Nor yet that He should offer Himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others." You remember back in the Old Testament, that old high priest on the Day of Atonement, every year they had to go and offer up that atonement sacrifice. Every year, year after year. One of them wasn't good enough. I mean, it had to be repeated year after year. And it didn't provide the removal of sin. It provided the coverment of sin, or the atonement. But thank God, one day Jesus came, amen. And the Bible said, He said He didn't have to offer Himself often. In other words, He don't have to keep on continuing a sacrifice. He's the once and for all sacrifice, amen. Amen. Verse 26, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." It only took one time, amen. Y'all with me this morning? We're going to wake up before I preach. Amen. He came one time. He died one time. He offered Himself one time. And one time is all it took. Amen. And verse 27 says, after He put away sin, the sacrifice of Himself, verse 27 said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Verse 27, I wanted to call your attention. The Bible said, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, I ask for Your touch. God, I pray that, God, You'd fill me with Your Holy Ghost. And God, I pray You'd help me to preach what You put in my heart. And God, I pray for these people that are here, that God, they would have ears to hear. And Lord, they would hear what the Spirit has to say this morning. God, I pray for that person that's lost. And God, I pray the one that's nearest to hell, God, that they would open their heart and their mind to You this morning. I pray, God, that, Lord, they would hear and listen and be sensitive to and be obedient to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Have Your will and way, I pray today. Save souls. And Lord, do the work that only You can do. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to call your attention to verse 27. That word appointed has grabbed my attention this morning and on my heart. And I want to preach to you this morning on that, out of that word and the thought appointed. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And I want to preach this morning for a little while on appointments. Appointments. You know, we've got in life, you've got several types of appointments. You know, there are some appointments that you can control, and there are some appointments that you can't control in life. You know, I was thinking about some that I can control. Brother Robbie, I remember when I first met my wife now, when she was not my wife, and I first met her, and I remember when she got the nerve up to call me and beg me for her first date. Amen? I mean, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I you know, y'all that... Y'all, Valentine's Day is coming up this week, and you think about, man, people are looking for a date. Some of you young single ladies, your boyfriend or that secret admirer, he's called you, and he's looking for a date. He's looking for an appointment that he could have with you. But you know what? You've got control over a lot of those types of dates. How many of you ever had a date, and when you went to have that date wasn't there? Don't raise your hand. I'd hate to embarrass anybody. But you know what? There are certain dates and appointments that you have control over. I've got control over certain things. I was thinking about a lot of different things. when I was a kid, one of the things that I dreaded the most, I mean, I dreaded this worse than nightmares. I used to hate to go to the dentist. How many likes going to the dentist? There's something wrong with you if you like going to the dentist. I used to hate. I remember the dentist. Man, it was kind of like it had paneling on the wall in their office, and it was dark, and they didn't have near as many lights as we've got in here. Dreary looking, and they always had that elevator music playing. And I'm like, man, what is going on? It sounded like a funeral home or something. And you'd go in there, and you'd sit in that little office, and you'd wait, and then they'd call your name, and you'd be, and I'd be holding on to mama. Come on, I don't want to go. You know why? Because when I was sitting there, I'd be sitting in that waiting room, and you'd hear something like this. Y'all ever heard that? I mean, you sit there a little while later. You're like, man, what are they doing? Drilling a hole in his head, sucking his brains out? Man, I used to hate to go to the dentist. If I could have got away with any appointment in life, if I could have broke any appointment, it would have been to go to the dentist. Man, I hated to go to the dentist. Man, I did. But I had to go. Mama made me. Some appointments you can control. But there are others that you can't control. I know of one appointment sitting here this morning that everybody in here has already met that appointment and you had no control over it. It's called birth. You were born into this world. If you're sitting here this morning, you've been born, amen? One time at least. You had no control over that. There was a mom and there was a dad and there was God, amen? And you had absolutely no control over whether you were going to be born into this world. You had no control. You were born. Now, I was thinking about born. There's been a lot of people born. Everybody that's been alive has been born, amen? Hey, but of all the people that's been born, the Bible said, it's appointed unto man once to die. Not only could you not control your birth, but you can't control another appointment that's coming for you one day called death. Death is one of these days going to come a knocking on your door. You say, I'm not going to die. I don't want to die. It doesn't matter how much you want to and how much you think you're not going to. One of these days, the Bible said that sin, by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, and death, he said, had passed upon all men, for all have sinned. It's appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die. I was over there a while ago looking, just glancing through in Genesis chapter number 5. And as I was looking through Genesis chapter number 5, it starts with the first man that God created in the garden, Adam. And it has Adam, and it talks about how Adam lived so many years. And then it talks about the children that he begat. And it said he lived so many years, and he died. And then it goes on and it talks about Adam's children. And it talks about how they lived so many years. And they beget children. It talks about their children. And it says he lived so many years and he died. And the next one, so on and so on. And he lived and he begat children and he died. He lived, he begat children and he died. And he lived so many years and he died. And he lived. And guess what? Every last one of them got something in common. All of them died. And can I say to you, if you're sitting here this morning, there's coming a time, barring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to die. You say, preacher, that's not encouragement. Hey, we're not talking about making you feel good. We're talking about the truth this morning. The Bible said, as it is appointed unto man, once to die. You're going to die. I'm saying this morning, you have an appointment with Mr. Death. He's coming your way. The Grim Reaper will walk down your hallway into your bedroom and knock on your door one day and take you out of this world. You are going to die. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You say, well, I haven't sinned. Well, you're crazy. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, because of you transgressing the law of God, because of you breaking God's law, and because of you going against the will of God, hey, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. You deserve death. I deserve death. Let me say, you don't only deserve a physical death, but according to the Bible, you deserve the second death, which is a spiritual death, in a place called the lake of fire. Every last one of us, that's what we deserve. I'm glad it doesn't stop there in Romans 6:23, though. It says, the wages of sin is death, but. I thank God for that but. I'm glad when God butts in once in a while. And He said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad this morning that Jesus stepped in. According to Hebrews, He stepped in, hey, in the end of the world, and He suffered once and He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. I thank God that Jesus stepped in. Hey, though I had an appointment at birth, I've got an appointment at death, and because of what Jesus did, how He offered Himself, thank God I can be ready for death. It's appointed that a man wants to die. Wants to die. I was thinking about how can I be ready to die. Can I say this? You're going to die. It doesn't matter if you're famous or you're not famous. We've seen in the news in recent days, there's famous people that die. There's you open the most newspapers and you'll see in the obituaries, you'll see common people that you've never heard of, and you'll see their name in the obituaries. And then many times you open the front page and you'll see this celebrity or this sports star, this politician, somebody. Hey, well, it doesn't matter whether you're famous or whether you're not famous. Doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. I've seen them die anywhere from days old to 100 and some years old. Hey, doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter. You can't buy yourself another day when death comes knocking. You can't buy yourself another year. You can't buy yourself out of this thing called death. It is appointed that a man wants to die. I've seen rulers die. I've seen presidents die. I've seen paupers die. I've seen drug addicts die. I've seen doctors die. I've seen preachers die. Hey, they all die. You're going to die one day. The question is, are you ready for this thing called death? Because the Bible said, after this, the judgment. See, you've got an appointment with death, sir. You've got an appointment with death, ma'am. You've got an appointment with death, young person, but you've also got an appointment called judgment. We don't hear a lot about it in our day, but the Bible still teaches that one day Jesus Christ is going to judge every person. If you're saved, you'll be standing at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're lost, you'll stand at the great white throne judgment, and you'll hear something like this, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Judgment, just as sure as you're sitting in this room this morning, I promise you, one day you're going to face some judgment. Are you ready for that judgment? The only way you'll be ready to meet death, the only way you'll be ready to face that judgment is to keep an appointment that the Bible talks about called salvation. Salvation. You know, this is an appointment that God wants you to have. But contrary to some beliefs, you can miss this appointment. God wants to save everyone, but God will not save everyone. Everybody ain't going to heaven. Good old boys ain't going to heaven, and good old boys ain't going to wear a crown. Only those that are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only those that have received and believed on the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has offered. Are you ready this morning? Hey, have you been saved? I was thinking about, you say, preacher, well, I'll get saved later on. I'll get saved some other time. I want to sow my wild oats, and when I'm 30 or when I'm 35 or when I'm 40, when I have kids, I'll get saved and I'll live for God. Then you better watch out. The Bible said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may not be here tomorrow. James 4:14. He said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And he said, your life is gone. That's what he said. You ever been boiling water and you saw the steam? You saw it rise up and you can't catch that steam. You reach over to get that steam and that steam's gone. You ever see it? And he said, that's what your life's like. Vapor. Gone. Gone. You say, well, I know somebody lived to be 100. 100 in the grand scheme of eternity is the drop in the bucket. You say, well, preacher, you just, hey, you say, I'll get saved when I want to. No, the Bible said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, hey, well, the Bible said now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Can I say to you, you don't get saved when you good and well want to. You're getting saved, and the only time you'll ever get saved is when God is dealing with your heart and drawing you. Hey, you can't come to Him except to draw you. There's got to be a Holy Spirit conviction. There's got to be some dealing with in your heart by the Spirit of God. I see people, I'll get saved tomorrow, I'll get saved next week. Hey, you may say a prayer, but you won't get saved on your own time. You'll get saved when God's dealing with you and drawing you, or you won't get saved. I was thinking about several through the Bible who had an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just share a few with you. I was thinking about, a man named Zacchaeus over in Luke chapter number 19. In Luke chapter number 19, Jesus told Zacchaeus, He said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. He said, for, watch it, today I must abide at thy house. Are you with me? He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say next week, Zacchaeus. He said, make haste, come down. He said, for today I must abide at thy house. You know what that meant? That meant, hey, Zacchaeus, hey, right now's the time. You better get out that tree and get on home with Jesus, because today is the day of salvation. Zacchaeus had an appointment with can I say it like this? He had a divine appointment with God Almighty. Today, Zacchaeus, thank God, Zacchaeus made good on that appointment. He come on down that tree. Somebody said he come down so fast that, hey, there's still no bark on that tree today. I don't know about that. But thank God Zacchaeus took and come out that tree and he went home with Jesus. Zacchaeus got saved and Zacchaeus' life was changed. Zacchaeus made good of his appointment. But I was thinking about that woman at the well over in John chapter number 4. Y'all know about that. Jesus said in John chapter number 4, the Bible said he was traveling, and the Bible said he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs. It wasn't a happen chance. It wasn't, oh, I might. No, it said he must needs go through Samaria. You say, why did he must needs? Why was it a divine necessity that he go through Samaria that day? I'll tell you why. Because he got down there to Jacob's well and he met a little woman down there. And she's down there drawing water and he went down there and started a conversation with her. And she found out that he was the water of life. Hey man, she found out that he knew everything. She was a woman. You say, well, what kind of woman was she? Well, he said that she had five husbands and the man she's with then wasn't her husband. But he gave her a drink of water. Hey, and he said she never thirsted again. She went out of there saying, come see a man which told me everything ever I did. Amen. She went back to town telling all the men, hey, you got to meet this one I met. I ain't never met nobody like him. Ain't nobody ever satisfied a desire like him. Ain't nobody ever gave me a drink like he gave me. Ain't nobody ever forgave me and loved me and cared for me like Jesus did. She met a woman that day. Was no accident. He must needs go through Samaria. Must needs. She had a divine appointment that day. She made good of it. And then I was thinking about this appointment, and your appointment with salvation may be and can be wasted. There's many people that have wasted away their day, their appointment. They've rejected. They said, nah, not for me. I was thinking about a young rich ruler over there. The Bible talks about him, and I think it's in Mark chapter number 10 and in Matthew chapter number 19. And in Matthew chapter number 19, this young rich ruler, he comes to Jesus. He said, what one thing? What should I do? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, trying to get him to see that it wasn't about what he could do. It's about what Jesus is going to do. Amen? Y'all all right? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he said, oh, he said, which ones? And Jesus gives him a few. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, man, you are crazy. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus said, I'll tell you what you do. And Jesus said, he knew he had riches. Jesus said, sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor. Come follow me. The Bible said, he went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. That old boy had an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Could have changed his life for eternity. And he said, I'd rather have riches. I'd rather have this world's goods than to make good of my appointment of salvation. And then I was thinking about over in the book of Acts. Over in the book of Acts, chapter number 24, the Apostle Paul, he's brought before Felix the governor. And the Apostle Paul in Acts 24, he's presenting the gospel. He's talking to Felix about judgment and righteousness and temper, and things that had to do with the new birth and things that had to do with the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Felix the governor, he says, hey, go away, Paul. And when I have a more convenient, he said, when I have a convenient season, he said, I'll call for you. When I have a convenient seat. In other words, when I can fit it in my plan, when it meets my and suits what I want, when it suits my fancy, hey, I'll call you when I need you. Then I was thinking about over in Acts chapter number 26 where Paul was taken to King Agrippa and he presented the gospel. He told him his testimony and what happened to him on the road to Damascus and how Saul of Tarsus was going down the road to Damascus and he was smitten by the light and he fell to his knees and he cried out, Lord, Lord, what will thou have me to do? How he met the Lord that day in his life was radically changed. And he was made different. He was saved and made a brand new creature. He was become a servant and a preacher of the gospel. And old King Agrippa, Paul looks at him and he said, King Agrippa, I know thou believest. Don't you believe? And King Agrippa said these words. And he said in Acts 26:28, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Can I help you this morning? Almost don't count. Almost is not. There's a lot of people in the church house this morning. Hey, you've sat on the church pew. You've quoted some scripture. You've sang a few songs. You've given in the offering. You've done some good things. You're almost, but almost don't count. You can't almost be a Christian. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There is no in between. There is no, oh, I'm just holding on to the gate. I'm almost in. No, honey, hey, you don't work your way in. You don't buy your way in. You're either in by faith, hey, or you're not in at all. I'm thinking about this morning because of these people that wasted away. Hey, their appointment, I'm thinking about a young rich ruler that's probably in hell this morning. He's probably crying out, oh, Jesus, come back. I'll sell it all. Hey, the price is right. I'll give it up. I'll throw it all away. I'll give it to whoever you want me to give it to. I'll give them my clothes. I'll give them my house. I'll give them my bank account. I'll give them all my goods. Get me out of here. One more chance. One more chance. But he's seeing his appointment away. And I'm thinking about Felix. Man, old Felix, the Bible gives us no record. Matter of fact, it talks about 2 years went by, and there's no record of him ever having a convenient season. In hell this morning, I believe there's a man named Felix hollering out, hey, now's a good time, Paul. Come back, Paul. I want to hear the gospel one more time. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Tell me one more time about Calvary. Tell me one more time about an empty grave. Tell me one more time about sins forgiven. Tell me one more time how I can be born again. But it's too late. It's too late. I said it's too late. And then I think about Agrippa. Almost. He's in hell this morning. Paul, come back. I don't want to be almost. I want to be altogether like you. Almost ain't good enough. I want to be altogether like you, Paul. Almost will never do. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, not purgatory. After this, not just the grave. After this, the judgment. You're going to die, sir. You're going to die, ma'am. And when you die, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how in the world can I be ready for this judgment? How in the world can I be ready when death comes knocking? Can I say, there's a thing called the rapture. You may not, if you're saved, you may not even have to go through death. You may not go through the undertaker. You may go by way of the upper taker. Paul talks about over in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, there's going to be a trumpet. He said, for the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thank God. Hey, that's an appointment. Hey, if you're saved this morning, if the Lord, comes back before we go to death, that's an appointment one day you'll keep. But you say, preacher, how in the world can I be ready for death when death comes? How in the world can I escape the judgment of the great white throne? How can I escape hell? How can I escape the second death of the lake of fire? How can I be ready when death comes knocking? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you why. Because just as it's appointed unto men once to die, the Bible said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And he said, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I thank God that Jesus Christ came, amen. He cared about, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad God loved the world. I'm glad he loved black people, and I'm glad he loved white people, and I'm glad he loved rich people, and I'm glad he loved poor people. I'm glad he loved Africans. I'm glad he loved Russians. I'm glad he loved Jews. I'm glad he loved Gentiles. I'm glad he loved Americans. I'm glad he loved rednecks like me. I'm glad God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be ready, sir and ma'am, young person. You can be ready for your appointment with death because Jesus kept his appointment at a place called Calvary. The Bible said in Revelation that he's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In God's mind, Jesus Christ, the price was paid. The Lamb was slain before the worlds were formed. But Jesus physically had to carry out the plan. Yeah. And the Bible said here, we read starting in verse 24, how Christ has entered into heaven. And he talked about how he offered himself once, not once a year, but once. And he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Because Jesus said this, Jesus said in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You want to talk about love? Die for somebody. Jesus died for you, sir. Jesus died for you, man. He died for your sins so you could be ready when an appointment of death comes knocking at your door. He met his appointment at Calvary one time, and one time is all it took. One time he offered himself. One time he came. One time he was a sacrifice. And let me say, one time was enough to wash away your sin. One time was enough to forgive you. One time was enough to born you into the family of God. One time was enough to make you a brand new creature. And can I say, thank God, the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ live with me. And he said, in the life which I now live, he said, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me, thank God he loved me, who loved me, and what happened when he loved me? And gave himself for me. Because he loved me, my Savior died, hung on a cross, was crucified. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Revelation 1:5 said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He loves you, sir. He loves you, ma'am. If you go to hell, If you go to the lake of fire, if you go to the great white throne judgment, you won't look at God and say, why didn't you care? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't I have... No, if you go to hell, if you suffer that second death, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, it'll be because you wasted your appointment. I'm glad it went all the way. There's been many people talk about Christ's great life, and let me say, He lived a great life. Sinless life, born of a virgin, sinless life, not one sin, not one flaw in His life. Pilate checked Him out, searched Him high and wide, and said, I find in this man no fault at all. Can I say, if you search Him high and wide, you'll have to come to the same conclusion. He lived a great life. He's a great teacher. He's a great preacher. But I will say, His great life and His great preaching and His great teaching wasn't enough to take care of your sins. Hey, can I say, He went through Gethsemane, and there's been a lot of people make big to-do, and there was some serious business that went through at Gethsemane. But I will say, at Gethsemane in the garden, when His sweat became as great drops of blood, that was not enough to take care of your sin. But Jesus Christ, He didn't stop with being a great teacher or a great preacher. He didn't stop with the sufferings and the people that rejected Him. He didn't stop in Gethsemane, as hard as Gethsemane must have been. But I'm glad. Hey, He walked that lonely hill to Calvary, and He went to that old rugged cross, and He didn't get murdered. He didn't get killed, but He laid down His life. And I'm glad He didn't say, Father, it's too hard. It's more than I thought it was going to be. Father, I don't want to go through this. Father, this is way worse than we ever imagined. No, I'm glad that when the nails started going through His hands and His feet, and when the thorns was driven down in His head, and when the spear come through it, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus went all the way. He kept His appointment at Calvary. Can I ask you a question this morning? If you were to die right now, and you were to stand before God, and this won't happen, but just for say, if He was to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? What would your answer be? Preacher, I went down to Newhall, man. We went down there. We had a good time. We had a good church. We sang out the Red Book. We had the King James Bible. Not good enough. Preacher, man, I can quote the Ten Commandments. You can't. God said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Well, I gave $100 a week. I gave $1,000 a month. You're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. Well, preacher, I was faithful. There's been a lot of people that was faithful to church and died and went straight to hell. I'm telling you, you're not saved this morning because you go to a church. And you're not saved, well, I got baptized. Listen, it doesn't matter. Hey, what did that Philip ask that Ethiopian eunuch? He said, if thou believest with all thine heart. You can get baptized so many times, you know every tadpole in the county by name. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you hadn't believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to hell. What would your answer be? Can I say this? He's not going to ask that question. But you've got an appointment. One of these days. Richard, I'm going to take vitamins. I'm going to take this and that. And I'm not going to die. You're going to die. There's been richer and greater than you that's tried it. There's people that's tried to freeze themselves because they think they're going to come back when science reaches another level. Listen, I can help them out. It's important to me that wants to die. Wants to. And after this, he said, the judgment. The judgment. If you don't receive Christ who paid for your sins, you one day in the lake of fire will suffer for your sins. Are you ready for that appointment tonight, today? Are you ready? I'm not asking you, are you on a church roll? I'm not asking you, are you a good person? I'm asking you this morning. Has there ever been a time and a place in your life when you realize that you was lost, when you realize your way wasn't getting it done, you realized you was going the wrong way and you repented of your sin and you said, God, I'm going this way, but I know your way is that way. And God, it's not my will, but it's your will that I turn. And God, I'm going to surrender my will. I'm going to bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to repent of my sins. And by faith, I'm going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ because I know I can't earn my way in. I've got to have Jesus to get in. And if there's never been a time and a place for you, sir, ma'am, young person, where you received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith with a repentant heart, let me ask you this. Why don't you get saved today? God's dealing with your heart. He's showing you that there's never been that time, that place. He's tugging at your heart. There's a thumping in your chest. God's speaking to you this morning. Let me beg you this morning, if God's dealing with you, don't waste your appointment for salvation. Now's the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. He may not give you this chance next week. He may not give you this chance next year. He may not give you another opportunity. You may not make it home this afternoon. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to get you to see reality. Are you ready to meet God? You've got an appointment. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I love you this morning. And I thank you, God, for your word. God, I pray for each person that's sitting here this morning under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that, Lord, that you would work in the hearts and lives. And Lord, you know who's here and who's not here. Lord, you know the needs of those that sit here. Lord, you know those that are lost. And you know their hearts' need. God, I pray this morning, Holy Ghost conviction to draw them and to show them that they need to be saved today. God, have your will and way. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for paying the price. Thank you for offering yourself sacrifice once and for all. Have your will and way in this invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed.